his Muslim brother. Now, a right of a Muslim is not something to be taken lightly. It's his haqq. If we didn't fulfill the haqq of a person, Allah can forgive you for his rights that you didn't fulfill. But the rights of a Muslim that was not fulfilled, then a person will have to seek forgiveness from him or compensate him on the day of Qiyamah with his good deeds for not fulfilling his rights. One will be questioned and answerable in the court of Allah for not fulfilling the rights of a Muslim. And one of the rights of a Muslim is, when a Muslim is sick, you must visit him. In this day and age where life has become fast-paced, we don't even know in our street who is sick. We don't even know who passed away in our street. We don't know the amount of Muslims that are crying in hospitals from rich families that have been abandoned, that have been neglected. I don't want to say too much. Maulana is in front of me. I want Maulana to sit here and to explain to us. My Ustad, respected Ustad, I just want to explain so we understand that Maulana is doing this with the mashura of the seniors and the elders. This is not any business that is being done. This is not done for any profit. But one of our seniors and our elders, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Salih Sahab, the principal of Madrasa Talim al-Din, saw that there is this vacuum in our community where the people are sick, ailing, frail, old, and very little concern is there for them. So alhamdulillah, for about over a year, maybe 2 years, Maulana will tell us exactly, Maulana has been overseeing this khidmat and this department that many of us sometimes we don't even think. If it's some of our family, we'll visit them in hospital maybe. In our community, we'll visit them. But what about that person maybe doesn't have family? So Maulana will take over, inshallah. Maulana will explain further, inshallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من عاد مريضا أو أخ له نادى مناد بأن طبت وطاب ممشاك وتبوأت من الجنة منزلا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام موسل سبيكتر ألس Brothers in Islam, Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah to our Mulana Huzaifa Imam Sahib for assisting me with the introduction. Mulana made reference to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that Muslims have rights over Muslims. And in this particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that there are 5 rights which each Muslim have over another Muslim. And one of those rights is that when a person is unwell, when a person is sick, it is our duty as a Muslim to go and pay him a visit. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask man that I was sick, but you did not visit me. So man will reply to Allah that, oh Allah, how could you have been sick, whereas you are the creator of the universe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply that so-and-so person was unwell, he was sick, he was ill. If you had come to visit him at his bedside, you would have found me next to him. And in this way, your sins would have been forgiven. So, respected elders and dear friends, we understand from this how important it is and to visit a person when he is unwell. In the hadith I recited at the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Man aada maridan aw akhan lahu," that person who visits his sick brother, "Nada munadin," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel to make an announcement, "Bi an tibta wa taaba mamshaka," that you have done very well, you have gained excellent rewards. وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ, and your walking towards that person is very, very beloved in the eyes of Allah. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا, and rest assured that you have built yourself a palace in Jannah. Respected elders and dear friends, we can well understand from these three or four ahadith how great work, how great and how virtuous and how beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this work and this effort of visiting. And this is actually an ibadat. This ibadat of visiting the sick, which we term as iyadatul marid, visiting the sick person. About three and a half, four years ago, just to give a brief introduction on how this work started, our Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Damat Barakatum, from his spring of Ishtanimuddin, in a few of his bayans in his majlises, he emphatically made announcements and made the targhib and requested that this type of work needs to start. It is a branch of deen, as per his words. It is a branch of deen which has been neglected, and we as Muslims need to make some effort to start this. Hazrat Mufti Sahib had been receiving numerous complaints regarding old people, frail people, males and females in the 60s, 70s and 80s, whereby they were very badly neglected and left to fend for themselves without assistance and without help. Mufti Sahib had been receiving complaints and feedback regarding people who have been passing away in hospitals losing their iman, because the Christian missionaries are working so strong in hospitals. So, alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through the barakat of our ustad and our elders, this work commenced with broken efforts about plus minus 3.5 to 4 years ago. Alhamdulillah, to date, it has developed into something semi-structured. We're still working. It's a new kind of work that we are doing. Alhamdulillah, it is gaining momentum. And we now represent the non-profit organization called National Hospital Board, the NHB, National Hospital Board. And we are a branch of Talimuddin and Talimi Board in Spingo Beach Madrasa. Alhamdulillah. So, according to the advice of Mufti Sahib, initially, the core of this work and the main effort of this is to visit the person when he is sick. So, in this manner, we started visiting government hospitals mainly targeting financially challenged people and people who are not receiving any visits from family or friends while they are spending time in hospital. And alhamdulillah, in this manner, we started visiting all the hospitals of Durban and KZN, to mention a few, Eddington Hospital, King George Hospital, King Edward, Candies in Phoenix, RK Khan in Chatsworth, Wentworth Hospital in Mirbank, and some other hospitals in Marisburg and surrounding areas. And through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on every visit, 99% of the time, we always find some Muslim person, Muslim brother, lying in hospital, languishing in hospital, without anyone having to pay him a visit and spending his time there worrying about his own health, his own sickness, and worrying about his family and his kids at home as well. So Mufti Sahib's instruction to us was that save the iman of these people. Save the iman, look after the iman and see how we can do to encourage this person to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because spiritual attention and spiritual strength plays a major role in a person's recovery as well. Just to give an example of how important this visit is to the sick person at his bedside and to save his iman, on one of our visits at Eddington Hospital, we met a brother. We'll just use first name in order just to protect the person and his family from any ill fear, just to protect their name. So we met brother Muhammad. He was 55 years old, and we noticed that he was very, very sick. So when you visit a person and you notice that this person is very unwell, and you can see the signs of maradul maut, the sickness of death on the person, then we should make it our effort and our point to visit this person every day or as much as possible, because it can be any day that this person may pass away. So we met this brother in this condition. This must have been about 2 or 3 years ago. And alhamdulillah, we spent 2 or 3 days visiting him. On the third or the fourth day when we got to the hospital, we found a group of Christian missionaries. About three guys were there, all wearing silver crosses around their necks. And they had the Bibles in their hand. One of them had his one hand on the head of the brother while he was lying on his hospital bed, and he was reciting his prayers from the Bible. And this brother was saying Ameen to the prayers. So respected elders and dear friends, we must understand a person in this condition of sickness, he is at a very vulnerable stage in his life. Anything that you throw at him, anything that you give him, he's going to accept. Especially if it's words of counsel, words of encouragement, words of prayer. And especially if a person is coming from a background which is not so deeni inclined or not such a strong Islamic background. So he will latch on to it. People are offering him prayers, they're offering him assistance for his family at home, etc., etc. So we just waited for them to finish, because we should understand Christian missionaries in South Africa, they are actively involved in carrying out their duties and their missionary work in all government hospitals in South Africa. And these missionaries are appointed by their head offices and their headquarters based in UK and the USA. Multi-billion dollar organizations who have appointed these people, and they are registered with the Department of Health. They have full access to enter any government facility, medical facility at any time of the day or night. They have the full green light. There are no red tape, no restrictions for them to enter. Unlike any one of us, we will not be allowed to enter a government medical facility at any other time besides the visiting hours. So these Christian missionaries are working actively in our hospitals. If you enter any ward in most government hospitals in this country, you will notice on the entrance of the wall there is these little boxes with Christian missionary leaflets in there regarding Jesus and Bible, etc., etc., and it's printed in 5 or 6 different South African languages. So from this we can understand how actively they are working in this country. So in this manner we found this group of people, and after they had left the ward, alhamdulillah, we immediately took over. I was accompanied by one of our colleagues, and we just spoke to the brother, got him back to his senses, just explained him that these guys were here, just forget what they were saying. Alhamdulillah, he recognized us. He said, "Oh, Maulana, alhamdulillah, I'm so happy you came to see me." So I knew he was back in his senses. Alhamdulillah, we recited kalima, we recited shahadat, we made dua for him. We made these du'as of istighfar and forgiveness. The brother was brought down to tears, sobbing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sickness, for his family, for his children. And alhamdulillah, we were satisfied that he was on a safe ground regarding his iman, and then we left. Not even an hour had passed, we received a phone call that this brother had passed away. So respected elders and dear friends, imagine if we did not pay that visit that day. The last people to have been at his bedside would have been the Christians with the Bible. The last words he would have said Amin to was the words of Jesus and the word of the Bible and the Trinity. So from here we see, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed our elders with insight and farasat that they wanted this work to start, and within a few weeks or few months after starting this work, we experience a situation like this. So we can well understand how important it is to pay that visit. The root, the main effort and the roots and the heartbeat of this work is that visit. We need to go like the Jamaat, the Tabligh Jamaat Tartib, where they go house to house, town to town, door to door, city to city. In the same way, we go hospital to hospital, frail care center to frail care center, home to home, floor to floor, ward to ward, in search of Muslim brothers. At the moment, we are only concentrating on the males, because this work, the void and the requirement of this work is so huge that we're barely touching, I would say, 5% of males, of the work required to serve Muslim male patients in medical facilities in our city and in our country. So in this manner, on the Jamaat Tartib, going out with istighfar, going out with 2 rakat salah in the state of wudu, we go look for our people, and most of the time, 99.9% of the time, we are finding Muslim people who appreciate the visit so much that the du'as which flow from their heart is unbelievable. That's why we understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person visits a Muslim, visits his sick brother in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint 70,000 malaika to make dua of rahmah, dua of mercy for this person for the remainder of the day. And when a person visits his sick brother at night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint 70,000 malaika to make dua of rahmah for that person for the remainder of the night. So, from this hadith as well, we can understand the reward of this, because showing us and teaching us how important it is to do this work, because when you visit that brother, he appreciates that visit so much, because he is extremely vulnerable, he doesn't have anyone visiting him, he's lonely, he's miserable, and many a times he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he latches onto anything. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, in that time when he was making these announcements, few times he cited the incident of our late Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar, rahmatullahi alayhi, during his maradul maut, his final illness, whilst undergoing his dialysis, after a session of dialysis, he would request the person who's pushing his wheelchair to just pass by the cubicles of the sick brothers in the hospital, and 30 seconds, 1 minute, he would stop by each cubicle, make salam, make a dua, and carry on. On the way out of the hospital, he would tell the brother pushing him, "Now let us do the maths and work it out." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we receive the reward of 70,000 angels making dua of mercy. Today we visited 10 people, 70,000 times 10 is 700,000. Allahu Akbar, his words were, "Allahu Akbar, what an investment." Respected elders and dear friends, this is a 70,000% investment. Allahu Akbar, where can we get that type of investment in this world? We give one and we receive back 70,000. So, alhamdulillah, this work started. We are carrying on doing this work. We also have started this effort in Peter Maritzburg. Our Maulana Yusuf Desai is in his Jamaat. They have commenced in Maritzburg. Alhamdulillah, in Port Shepstone, we have our Maulana Zakaria Kadwa in his Jamaat. And in other places, we have in Verulam, there's somebody visiting as well. And Talimuddin, Madrasa Talimuddin has a Jamaat as well, which goes out to King Edward Hospital on a regular basis. So the core of this work is, as I mentioned, the core of this work is the visit to the hospital. Now, from there, we will get different departments and branches which will come out of that visit. Like, for example, many a time we find abandoned patients in hospital. And many a time, most of the time, these abandoned patients are all people in the 60s, 70s and 80s. Alhamdulillah, to the further of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we find these people, then we cannot leave them abandoned. And now, because the hospital staff and the nursing staff, they are familiar with our visits. Usually we go, it's restricted to the visiting hours, mostly between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, sometimes 7 and 8 in the evenings. So when there's an abandoned person, then they call us and they say, "Here's a Muslim uncle, here's a Muslim upper here. She's been discharged about a week ago. There's nobody to claim her." So in a case like this, the reason is because, once again, because of poverty and financial difficulty at home, that this upper, example, upper Zohra, right? A real life patient who we found about 2 years ago. Upper Zohra, 76 years old, with a bad bout of dementia. She was the last living person in a family of about 5 in a rundown house in Clearwood, who the last 2 ladies who were looking after her had already passed away. And she was now left alone, fending for herself at the age of 76 with dementia. forgetting what to do, soiling yourself, etc., etc. Alhamdulillah, somebody reached out to us. We had somebody pay a visit, and the house was in a pathetic state. There was one or two Zulu ladies were looking after her, and eventually this whole person's family, the whole family of this person moved into the house as well. Immediately, we contacted our Maulana Junaid Vaitsap in Istanbul. They are running a frail care old age facility as well. And alhamdulillah, they had space for her. They sent an ambulance and they took her in. To date, alhamdulillah, she's doing well. She's admitted at Istanbul Old Age Center, and they are looking after her well for the last 2 years, alhamdulillah. But just to give an understanding of the situation, when eventually we went into the house, two or three brothers from the area went, and they started going through her belongings. They found wrapped up in big pieces of newspaper and cloths all these uppers, jewelry from 50 years ago. In that state, she has like wrapped it up and hidden it away, and some other belongings, personal belongings for, of hers as well. So, alhamdulillah, all this was taken hold of, was given to her, some contact was made with some family members, and that was sorted out. So, this was now a lady who was abandoned in hospital. Another lady who was abandoned in hospital, also in around 60s or 70s, her condition was suffering with dementia as well, and she was just the daughter, the living daughter, was overwhelmed at home with her own problems and difficulties, and she was unable to take her back home after having fallen and broken a hip, and a hip replacement operation was done. She just was unable. She met us at the hospital. She was full of tears, the daughter, and she said she mentioned to us how bad she's feeling, but there's nothing she can do. She has 5 children at home in a 2-bedroom flat. So alhamdulillah, we made arrangements, and she was also admitted into a frail care center. Another person who was abandoned in hospital, Uncle Muhammad, 82 years old, also a broken hip. At the time when we started this work, we found him in King George Hospital. It was the 7th or the 8th month that he was already there, lying in that hospital bed, waiting for somebody to claim him. Remember, respected elders and brothers, when a person is abandoned in the hospital, especially an old person, and there's nobody to claim him or her, then this individual becomes the property of the Department of Health. The social workers will now take over, and they are assigned over to the social workers in the Department of Health, and they will be allocated a place in a government-funded old age facility or frail care center anywhere in the country. And in the case of this uncle, when we found him in our early days of doing this work, he was already waiting for about 7 or 8 months, languishing in that hospital bed in King George Hospital, because there were no space in any facility to be found for him. Eventually, they found a place in a non-Muslim run old age home in Amkomaz. And at that time, we just started, and we said, no, we cannot allow him to go there. Alhamdulillah, we took over and we made arrangements for him to get admitted into a private old age facility in Durban. Some months later, he passed away. Alhamdulillah, he passed away a good death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his maghfirat. Another branch and department of this work is similar to what I've been mentioning now, these old age people and frail care patients. The demand for old age and frail care is literally overwhelming. We receive daily calls every second day, every third day, of old age people and frail care people, more frail care, frail people. There's a difference between old age and frail. Old age is a person who is old, is able to do things for himself, but he does not have a place to stay. Frail is where a person needs assisted living, where he needs to be assisted to go to toilet, where he needs to be assisted to shower. Sometimes he wears diapers. So this is what is termed as frail care. So the demand for frail care is overwhelming. So there's a private frail care center in Morningside. There's another one in Overport. So alhamdulillah, we are in contact with a few of them, whereby whenever we receive a call, we go do the house visit, and we make arrangements to get them admitted into these facilities. But most of these facilities are overwhelmed. They perhaps have they are able to cater or to serve 20 or 25 patients, but they have 40 and 50 people in the facility, because the requirement for these old age homes and frail care facilities is so great. And inshallah, as a community, we should put our hearts together. We should share ideas, and we should see how we can get these type of facilities running. Basically, each community, each area requires one facility, and that too will be too less. So inshallah, this is also one effort which we as a community should work towards. Like, for example, this frail care, there's Uncle Aziz. He's 86 years old. He was crossing the road in Broad Street about a year or two ago. A car knocked him, and the mirror clipped his right side hip, and he ended up with a broken hip. He ended up in hospital. Alhamdulillah, surgery was done. And because he was living alone in a flat in Brickfield Road, his sister requested, please, do not send him back to his flat. There's nobody to look after him. Alhamdulillah, we made arrangement for him to get admitted into the facility. But his flat was left unattended for many months. Now there's a legal matter with the landlord of the flat. And old Uncle Aziz, who is an 86-year-old person who has nothing, and they are claiming back rental, etc., etc. So these type of things, we need to see how we can assist with this as well. Sometimes maybe we know some lawyers, some legal team, to speak to those people to see how they can assist and perhaps overlook that this person's death as well. Just another incident. A 17-year-old boy. Then I have requested permission from his parents to use his name. His name is Isa. His surname is Peterson. Isa Peterson, alhamdulillah, is our champion, is our hero. About 1.5 years ago, at the age of 17, at a school in Durban, he was a victim of gangsterism. Good boy, quiet boy, Muslim boy. He came into the fold of Islam at the age of 7 or 8 years old. They stay in Marion Ridge. Poor background as well. At school, the bigger boys, there was this agreement amongst them that if you can stab one boy, then you will become welcome into the clique of gangsterism. So he was the target. They spotted him and they went for him and they stabbed him. They stabbed him quite badly, a few in the stomach and one in the neck. The neck wound, the knife had hit the spine, which caused Isa to become fully paralyzed on the spot. They rushed him to hospital. On one of our visits to King George Hospital, just going ward to ward, looking for people. That's why we always encourage, wear the full Islamic attire, especially wear white clothing. So a patient can see you from far and he will make salam to you. So Isa, a dark-skinned boy with no beard, not knowing that he will be a Muslim, as we walked past his ward, we just heard, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We went in, we met him for the first time. He explained us his story, lying in the bed overnight, a young fit boy who was playing soccer, playing sports. He's paralyzed from the neck all the way to the toes, to the extent that he could not even move a finger. Alhamdulillah, we immediately befriended him. We started visiting him as much as possible in hospital or appointing somebody. We used to carry food for him, and he had to be fed himself. He had to be fed by hand because he was not able to feed himself. And his father would come from Marion Ridge. Imagine a person who's working in a meager salary job, taking a taxi from Marion Ridge to Pinetown, Pinetown to town, town to Asheville. Every single day for 6 months, this father done this in the morning and the evening. From here we can see the love and the care and the sacrifice the father will make for his child. So alhamdulillah, we used to meet the father regularly at the hospital. The mother would come as well. And eventually, after about 6 months in hospital, there was no improvement. And they signed him off, they discharged him, they sent him home. When he got home, Abu Mufti Sahab said, don't give up on him, carry on and do what we can. And everybody made dua, alhamdulillah. We arranged a hospital bed for him. We took it up to his house, about 45, 47 steps where he stays. So it's difficult for his parents as well to come up and down. And a small one-bedroom RDP house. We set up the hospital bed in the lounge. And for the last 1 year, Isa is lying in the bed. Alhamdulillah, to date, he has regained 50% movement in his one hand. He's able to after picking him up, he's able to sit up on his own without falling back. He's able to take the food and put it into his mouth. Alhamdulillah, with everybody's du'as, he goes once in 6 weeks to Hillcrest medical rehabilitation facility in Hillcrest to do intense physiotherapy. Alhamdulillah, we request the community and everybody to make dua for Isa's recovery, that Isa inshallah will one day walk out of that bed, out of his house inshallah. So like this, there's so many different departments to this work, like halal foods, for example, at all hospitals in the country, none of the hospitals serve halal food, so we can try to see how we can get our resources, our influence, our doctors and medical teams, how we can mobilize them and activate some type of effort whereby we can get some type of halal food served to hospitals. One idea we have in mind is that we appoint some restaurant, some takeaway, Honchos, Pedro's. We have an application form for the family of the sick person, and you just fill the form, collect his meals and take it to the hospital. Or we can get somebody on a scooter, on a motorbike. We have a list of Muslim people around all the hospitals. On a daily basis, some meals will be picked up and delivered to them during the lunch hour, during the supper, the evening visit. Inshallah, this is another effort which we as a community needs to work towards. Just to give one or two incidents before we terminate, in this last Ramadan, we had two patients, Brother Ridwan, 25 years a Muslim, from Asheville, very difficult life of poverty. He had some ta'alluq with Mullah Yunus Patel, rahmatullahi alayhi, back in the day. Along the line, he just got involved with bad habits, bad company, and he lived a life of bad habits for many years until he got sick about 3 months ago, 3-4 months ago. He was eventually admitted into Addington Hospital. Alhamdulillah, we visited him on a regular basis. In that stay in hospital, lots of istighfar, lots of tawbah, trying to make salah in bed, and his condition only worsened from bad to worse. He has a wife with two little small children, staying on a side street off Point Road in pathetic conditions. The building was literally a semi-brothel. We went to do a house visit with our ladies from home. Every stair where you climb, you're only smelling urine and stool. You're seeing quarterly clad ladies walking around in that building because it's a brothel. And the only place this person could find which he could afford to stay was in this place. 100 rand a night, used to do car guard job and some other odd jobs. Eventually he ended up in hospital, lots of istighfar, lots of tawbah during the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, with kalima on his tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him back, and he passed away in this Ramadan that passed. Obviously the wife and children are left behind. We had to do something about it. The father's cry and plea before he passed away was the iman of his children. We contacted family in Cape Town. Alhamdulillah, the uncle Qiyamuddin said no problem, he will take over the children, and the mother and the children were sent to Cape Town about a month ago, and alhamdulillah they are now living in Cape Town. Marhum Ridwan Bhai's stepmother, Hindu lady, 76 years old, who I used to meet on our regular visits at the hospital, she lost hope with the Christian church, and when we saw this, alhamdulillah, we took the opportunity, we gave her targheeb. She's staying in an old age home on the beachfront behind Addington called Tefta. She stays alone in one room, very lonely. The condition of the room is neat, but very lonely, very unhappy, full of grief and sadness. We went with our masturat, we went to visit her during Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, she recited kalima. Today she's a Muslim. So this is another need now which we require, for example, now somebody to visit us apa regularly. She's on the fourth floor, she's 76 years old. It's difficult for her to come to a madrasa nearby. So we need some volunteers, we need people, we need to activate some type of system whereby a lady like this now can receive regular visits at least once a week from anybody, just to speak to her, teach her something about deen, and inshallah this will be very, very beneficial as well. Then we had our uncle, 76-year-old uncle from Verulam, also life of 63 years old, also a life of bad habits, and which ended up in a very bad stroke. He ended up in hospital about 4 or 5 months ago, from hospital admitted into a frail care facility. Alhamdulillah, we visited him regularly, lots of istighfar, lots of tawbah, lots of salah in the wheelchair, etc. During this month of Ramadan, he developed a sore on his one leg due to poor circulation. He was admitted into Addington Hospital. Immediately, the leg was amputated. The next day, we visited him in ICU. Lots of tears flowing behind the oxygen mask, continuous tears with lots of istighfar on his lips. And he told me, "Maulana, now no more naughty things I'm going to do." That was his words. And we made him recite kalima, and we made him recite shahadat, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next day he passed away in the month of Ramadan. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So alhamdulillah, respected elders and dear friends, the barakat of this work is that people are reciting kalima before they pass away. People are being given their dignity and izzat and honor by getting a place in an old age home. People are making dua for you and for those who are doing this work. And alhamdulillah, it is spreading. Muhabbat is spreading love, and we are practicing and carrying out the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereby we need to do this work and need to carry out this work, and it's a great ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's still so much more to say. Our time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whoever. There are many people who are doing this work, who are contributing as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the contributions, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also open up our hearts and grant us the tawfiq and the ability to give whatever we can in time, in cash, in kind, in ideas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a reality, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it grow from strength to strength, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of salvation and najat for everybody in this world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الابرار ربنا واتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامه انك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين يا رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين امين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.